Today's guest is Dr. Michael Lennox. Dr. Michael Lennox leads a dream circle, and actually it meets in our class space. So I want everybody to know about that. That is a spiritual resource that's available for you to explore. I'll tell you more during the announcements. But Dr. Michael has a PhD from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology, which is quite a wonderful program. He's written a book called Dream Sight, which has been translated into 5 languages at this point. He is a psychotherapist and an astrologer and does dream work. And so I invited him to share briefly with you to do the essence of the work that he does so that you might know that there is a spiritual tool available for your use if you are interested in pursuing it. And so let's say good morning to Dr. Michael Lennox, please.
Thank you. You know, I have a dream, I had a dream. I have a dream, I had a dream. They're interchangeable. The dreams that we have at night are this sort of magical land where anything can happen and probably will. That's sort of what life is like. At least it is when you wake up, to a higher level of consciousness and recognize that this is something we are actively co-creating. And so one of the things that infuses all of my work, especially in the dream work, is that if you become a little more facile and reverent about your nighttime dreaming experiences, it is just possible, and I think likely, that you will have a more facile and reverent experience of your waking life dream, this dream that we are creating with every breath that we take. Now, I began studying spiritual texts when I was a very young boy, about 3 years old. In fact, I committed one to memory. I want to share it with you now. It's very powerful. Everything I ever needed to know about life is in this sacred text. Ready? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. And this is where I first got introduced to everything that helps me lead a more effective life, especially the idea that there is this magnificent thing called a dream. I have a dream. I had a dream, either way, whichever one you want to perceive. Of course, it starts with the idea that we're rowing. And rowing is effortful. And not only are we are rowing, row, row, row. There are 4 rows. This thing is difficult. Actually, there are 3. Excuse me, I misspoke. 3 rows. 3 is bad enough, right? Row, row, row. I'm sort of done with the first row, but then I have to row twice more. The other thing that I learned about life for this magical text is it's my boat, not your boat. I'm not in your boat. You're not in my boat. Please don't try to come into my boat. I won't go into yours. Boundaries. All is clear. I will work my life program. You work yours, and we'll be happy. Next thing, gently. Gently down. This is actually an easy process if you allow the movement of your life to simply take you where it wants to go, gently down the stream. The other thing about down the stream, there's an implication there that consciousness only expands. It only gets bigger. It only gets better. We are only wiser, never less so. With every day that passes, every morning that we wake up from the dream state that we've had the night before, we are smarter and wiser than we were the day before. This has actually been proven by science. In REM sleep, we form memories. So if we're studying calculus on a Tuesday, we know a little bit more of that calculus on a Wednesday. Of course, the scientists will say, and therefore dreams have no meaning. That sort of hubristic step from, we know this about dreams, so therefore that about dreams doesn't exist. But of course, the mystics are always a little bit ahead of the scientists. And so we know that our souls become wiser as we flow gently down the stream. And I believe that that happens in dreams. I believe that that's what dreams are doing for us. We are practicing our life skills in our dreams. We are chased by the assailant. We actually survive that chase. We wake up. We're not dead. We haven't been shot or eaten by the shark or drowned by the tsunami. And that's kind of like a practice of dealing with life's challenges and surviving to wake up the next day and sort of start it all over again. The next step, of course, in the sacred texts reminds us that it's supposed to be merry. It's a merry journey. So much so that there are four merrilies. Merrily, 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 merrily. There's one more merrily than there is row. Sorry, kids, it's in the algebra right there. There is one more merry than there is row, and that is just so. We don't ever change it up, really. We don't shift the proportion. It is more merry than it is effortful. Sometimes we cram a lot of effort into one little cycle in life. In the psychologists, we call that a crisis. You know, you guys, I'm sure, have lots of different monikers for those moments in life when the rowing seems a little overwhelming. But in the aggregate, we are doing more merrily than we are doing rowing. And of course, the final and most wonderful piece of this is life is but a dream. And this is the piece that I love. Now, when I come to a spiritual center like this to talk, I know that I'm speaking to people who are committed to having an elevated experience of their lives based on a spiritual practice. And here's what I have to say to you about that. I'm not interested in your love and light experience. Not in the least. Why? Because your experience of love and light does not need any help from me. Love and light is all there is. The creative force behind everything, that thing that we call the divine, divine consciousness, God consciousness, whatever the words are that you use to describe that energy that science of mind declares is in, through, and as all of us, does not need your help. What does need a little help and assistance, however, is when we are saying no to that. When we are blocking that with our fears and our doubts. I think that's why we gather on a Sunday morning. We gather to be reminded that there's a place in us where I'm constricting, where I'm saying no, where I'm saying I am afraid, where I'm saying I doubt the possibilities that exist in my life to create something magnificent. And all we really need to do in those moments is glance over to where it is we're constricting, look at it and sort of say, let's have this be a little different, and boom, it releases. Love and light fills the space, and we are good to go. This is what affirmative prayer does, right? Right. I'm afraid of this or that or the other thing. So I say a bunch of words that affirm the truth of knowing that I am in the flow of something greater than me, and through that flow, I can move beyond this appearance. That's just a moment of looking at the resistance and saying, oh, let's shine some light on that. The resistance, it's kind of like a balloon, you know? If you stuck a finger out in the middle of your face field here and you tried to blow up a balloon, that balloon would not go past the place where I am sticking my finger in and saying, no, 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 not here. You can expand here, here, and here, and here, and here, but not here. In dream parlance, what do we call this? A nightmare. A nightmare. Why do we remember our nightmares? We remember our nightmares far more easily than the numinous, beautiful dreams that we have, or at least that's what the general population's experience is, that nightmares are very memorable. I believe that this is by design. I believe that our soul is singing to us in the dreamscape about how magnificent we are, how profoundly powerful this creative force that is our consciousness, and how powerful it is to create something magnificent in that landscape where anything can happen and probably will, which frankly is no different than the waking dream experience. And we gather here to be reminded of our power to create that so that we can be more empowered in the co-creation of it. And we need to be reminded where we are saying no to that. And I'm not talking about being reminded by going to coffee with your friend and complaining about it, because that's just going to build it up and build it up and build it up and build it up. We take these little moments to remind ourselves of where the no is so that we can breathe a little bit of yes in that direction, and our dreams are doing this every night that we go to sleep. Now, here's the beautiful thing about dream work. I often say that in my work, what I'm really trying to do is get fired. You don't need my help. You do not need my help, and your dreams do not need your help in order for them to do what they are designed to do. Now, yes, I do believe that just by practicing affirmative prayer, you get better at that facile experience of guiding your thoughts and your affirmations more eloquently and therefore more powerfully, you can increase the capacity for your dreams to help your soul expand by thinking about them. You remember a dream and you've upped the ante a little bit. You write it down, you've upped it a little bit more. You speak about it with a friend or a beloved and you up the ante even more. The best thing you can do is be creative and expressive about the dream in reaction to it. Write it down, draw a picture, dance it around the living room. And yes, you increase the capacity for your soul to know itself through the dream work. But this process is happening by itself every night that you go to sleep. So the next time you wake up saying, oh my God, that was a terrible dream, remind yourself that it's a beautiful moment where you're simply glancing at the part of you that is saying, I am afraid, and just remind yourself that in that process, you are dispelling the fears for just a moment, expanding into a greater expression of who you are, and you get to do it again tonight. Thank you very much.